Three, and the Warwick Finance Committee is now open for business. May I have a motion for the acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on January 17th?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, thank you.
We will now go into PCR 11-24. Item number one is bid 2024-355, Bearcat Armored Vehicle. Good evening, Major. Could you please ensure that the microphone is on?
Good evening, Major Andy Sullivan for the Police Department. The Police Department is seeking a 56-6 exception to bid in order to purchase a Bearcat armored vehicle from Lenco Industries of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The purchase would be made under the HGAC cooperative bid. Lenco Industries is the exclusive manufacturer of the Bearcat armored vehicle, which is the industry standard for law enforcement armored vehicles. Lenco Industries is the sole producer and distributor of the Bearcat armored vehicle. The proliferation of firearms in society has presented increasing challenges to law enforcement. The Bearcat will allow personnel to get very close within a high-risk environment without jeopardizing the safety of police personnel or that of the citizens. This tactical advantage will undoubtedly lead to more peaceful resolutions than traditional methods alone. The build sheet was completed by personnel within our agency in conjunction with the experts at Lenco Industries to equip this Bearcat in a manner best suited for our needs. The total quoted cost for the Bearcat is $360,867.60, and if approved, would be funded by pre-approved ARPA funds, budget code 510-0400.
Thank you, Major. And because of the important character of this bid, I'd like to refer to the council president to make a statement on this. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
No, I just wanted to give my thoughts on this. I know that people are interested in this bid, in this particular vehicle. So I have spoken to the mayor about it. So I have, additional information that I think is important that we talk about when considering this bid this evening. So I believe we've had to call in the state police to use their vehicle a number of times in the past year.
Yes, that's correct, sir. The most recent was in Quesit with that somewhat unprecedented situation where the homicide suspects were held up in a house in Quesit, much to the shock of everybody. And we had, I believe, a state police, and there's also a federal one there too. So we had two of them there.
And that wasn't the only time. I believe the mayor said four times in the past year. And sometimes we have to wait a couple hours for the state police. The vehicle could be elsewhere. It's not,
That's correct. They house it. I'm not sure where they house it, but if we need it, we'd have to put a request in, usually from colonel to colonel. And then they would notify their personnel. The personnel that would operate that vehicle would then possibly be at home or wherever they may be. They would have to then respond to where their vehicle is stored and then get the vehicle, prep it, and bring it to our location. That can be upwards of 2 hours or more, possibly. And not to mention, it's not, although state police are very gracious and they're mutual aid, it's not fair to them for us to keep relying on them routinely for such a use.
And I think, Major, another part of this that we really need to consider is that, we have like a mental health crisis in our country, not just the city of Warwick, but in our country. And unfortunately, situations are happening in our neighborhoods where there's a lot of, issues that are going on. And sometimes guns are involved and neighbors and family members. And this is something that it's not just an additional piece of equipment, but this is something that the way the colonel spoke to me about it and the mayor is that this is just another way we want to ensure that our police officers go home safely, that our residents of Warwick go home safely, that this just gives another layer to be able to address this, to keep everybody safe. A lot of times guns are involved in these situations. And unfortunately, nowadays, we need equipment like this. Correct, Major?
That's correct. We are at an intersection or a point in time where mental health and the prevalence of firearms are both at all-time highs. That's a real bad recipe. Not to say that each instance has a element of the other, but we do often see that. Sometimes legal firearm owners have a bad day and have a momentary mental health crisis, and we're left to deal with that. I believe the statistic I read today was that this United States is 120 firearms per 100 residents in the country. So
yes,
more than one per person for every man, child, woman in the country. There's more. That's how many firearms are out there, and more high powered too. That's the other consideration.
And you mentioned examples, you know, that are in our neighborhoods, you know, that these things are happening. This is also going to be paid for with the federal ARPA funds. Now we have as the city council and the administration have worked to give, you know, allotted some of these federal funds to the police department, and we are relying on you. You know, you have the budget here. How much is about that? Your priorities. We want to make sure that what you bring to us is a major priority, and that you're using a number. This is a big line item, ticket item, and that's how important you believe that this is to the health and safety of the residents of Warwick, that you're allocating these one-time funds for this vehicle.
Yes, that's correct. I personally, aside from my work position here, I also personally believe it's a good asset for the city to have. Another way to look at this is that the vehicle has a 20-year life expectancy, usefulness, basically. So if you average that sticker shock price at 360 over the lifespan, expected lifespan of the vehicle, it comes out to about $18,000 a year, which is a lot more palatable thought of that way.
Great. Thank you, Major. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to use this opportunity to just kind of frame it how I'm considering this, in that, you know, with these individual purchases, we have to look at it as it's not just the police department. It is all of us are going to be affected by this. All of us see the mental health crisis that's happening across the country. And we all want to make sure the police officers get home safely, the residents of Warwick are safe, and we need to support the requests from the experts that they know and that they are advocating for this, because they're doing what they do every single day, and that is supporting the residents of Warwick. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Major, I was listening today on the news, so please forgive. I'm going to ask you if you remember the numbers, but please forgive if I get the numbers wrong. The state police reported on their some statistics today for the 2023, and one of it was a 40% increase in confiscated illegal weapons. Did you happen to hear that?
I did not hear it, but I certainly don't doubt it. What I can tell you is when I was a young patrolman, a firearm seizure during patrol activities would be the talk of the station, because they weren't that frequent. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, they seem to be happening a lot more, with a lot more frequency and regularity, which is fairly alarming. Not to mention you throw in the phenomenon of ghost guns. Yep. That's yet another element.
They said it was one of the largest increases in some time, and going on with the point that yourself and the president discussed, which was the mental health aspect added to it. I would like to say that, you know, upon doing this research and looking at it, I see this as, you know, me personally, I remember watching the TV, and I'm going to take a federal level, but it's the exact same context of a local level, where when we as a country invaded another country in 2003, and we were rolling in, and every night we would hear about explosives being used on the vehicles that were rolling through. And then Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld said, well, you know, if we armor up these vehicles, do you know how much money that will be? So we just continued sending our young men and women into Iraq and into these foreign countries without armored up vehicles. and they would come home without legs, limb, or life. I am in a position now, and I want to make this statement extremely clear, that I always considered, thought, if I have found myself in a position where I could make a department, a uniform service safer, that is worth the investment. This is worth the investment. This is worth sending those who step up to protect us in our city, in this little small bubble that we live in, home to their families. No sacrifice of a life should be because we didn't want to make that investment, especially those who go through the training and to defend our community. So I will open up to any further comments or questions to members of this committee. I believe Councilman Gebhardt. Thank you.
Thanks, Major.
Thank you.
I'm not entirely convinced. But starting on the, just on the finance side, I was just reflecting back on the 24 ARPA funds plan. I don't think this was part of the original plan for the year, was it?
The plans did change. Some of the ARPA money was reallocated. Initially, there was an interest in a major rehabilitation to our police station. However, that far exceeded any, we weren't even within reach of that goal. So we reallocated the money to other needs that we had, that we could identify that would fall within that, what we had to authorize spending.
And so does this, I'm trying to understand the priority here. I understand that the men and women in the police department end up in situations that are dangerous, of course. I read in your position paper that there's been instances where we've used this equipment over the, you know, course of the last year or two where we've borrowed it. And I can understand that if time is of the essence, that borrowing it may not be the most, you know, time efficient or the, you know, the highest safety focused approach. So, I mean, is it the position of the police leadership that this vehicle over, you know, any of the other vehicles that we've replaced or any of the other vehicles that are in the fleet, that this apparatus is the highest priority for the police department at this time?
At this point, with the funding that we have, this is part of our plan for part of the $3 million that were authorized from the administration for ARPA funds.
I know you've used mutual aid to get this apparatus from the state police before. Are there other municipalities surrounding us that have a similar apparatus in their fleet?
To my knowledge, within Rhode Island, state police and East Province also had the benefit of the famous Google money. So that probably explains why they have one, but just those two agencies.
Okay, so there's two municipalities. So Providence doesn't have one?
They may. I'm not sure offhand, though.
Cranston?
I don't believe Cranston is.
Okay. Would there be other municipalities that would call on us potentially for mutual aid to use this?
I would expect so, and that would be something we would, you know, exercise within reason. If the, you know, we have to make an assessment on our end if it's their request meets our standards. Mm-hmm. If they're going to pick up some guy on a shoplifting warrant, clearly that wouldn't be meet our standards. But
certainly,
if it met our criteria and it wasn't an abuse of any request, then we would certainly help them.
And does this require any specialized staff or specialized training to operate, or is there any special
doesn't require any specialized training. It's on a Ford 550 chassis.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the engine. It's a V8 turbo diesel. So other than the appearance, it's still a normal operator licensed vehicle.
And is this part of like the SWAT group within the department, or where?
Yes, that would be the primary function. It'd be for SWAT. It would also be used in conjunction with SWAT as a negotiator team, so it could allow negotiators also to be in the vehicle and get close to a scene to communicate with the person or persons that may be held up in a house and try to safely resolve the situation. There are also situations that I came across today where police publication that they give numerous examples, and one is this department went right up on somebody that was armed, what could have been an authorized lethal force situation, shooting the person, was resolved in a different manner. Even though they had a gun and they were within feet of this person, they were able to deploy less lethal munitions from the vehicle through a small opening to disable the person and peacefully resolve the situation as opposed to using lethal force.
Got it. All right. I think that's the questions that I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you. Members of the council, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Major. I find myself also a little bit on the fence about this. On the one hand, I agree with many statements of my colleagues, Councilman Howe and Council President McAllister. I think that Councilman Gebhardt also raises some excellent points. And I certainly don't intend to pick on Councilman Howe's example, not in the slightest. I had this example prior to his bringing up the example of why during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan were our troops not getting the equipment that they needed to be safe. And I think that that is an extremely compelling point here, that if, as a result of buying this vehicle, this prevents the death or serious injury of a single person, it's worth it. Where I do have some concerns is that I can understand that it's an inconvenience for everyone involved, and potentially with that waiting period, potentially a difference maker in having to wait for that vehicle to come from the state or East Providence or a different municipality. But if we're using the vehicle about four times a year, I'm not sure if it's entirely justified for Warwick to receive its own when other similar municipalities such as Cranston does not have one, when Providence does not have one. On the other hand, I can see that Warwick, it may have a need for it, certainly more than a lot of the towns out there. We're a city of villages, but we are a city that hosts an international airport, after all. However, I suppose that one of my greater concerns here has to do with the we've heard a lot over the years about the militarization of the police. I have a great deal of respect for the Warwick Police Department. It is nationally accredited, has been for many years. I think that the Warwick Police, they show far greater restraint than a lot of these examples of other departments that don't give police officers the good name that they deserve. I think that the Warwick Police do a fantastic job. I think there's no question about it that the Warwick Police are some of the very best in the nation. So where it comes to the concern about militarization is that if the vehicle becomes readily available, accessible. I wouldn't want to see a situation where we go from using the vehicle on those occasions where it's absolutely, rather, going from the status quo of bringing out this kind of vehicle only when it's absolutely necessary, but then instead, because it's readily available, seeing it being called out not four times a year, but four times a month. Because when this kind of tool is available, there does tend to be, and this is simply human nature, if there's that tool available, it tends to get used more often. And I can certainly understand how this kind of tool can be used to make a dangerous situation a little bit more safe. But you see the photos of this kind of vehicle, and I could imagine a number of different circumstances where if this vehicle is brought out, then people might panic or freak out a bit more because it looks like a military vehicle is rolling down the street. So obviously there's concerns about any kind of escalation potential there in some different situations. And of course, I know that the work police would be extremely careful about their use of a vehicle like this, of course. Mutual aid. There's a benefit to the other cities and towns, and we're all Rhode Islanders. At the same time, it's not exactly the kind of vehicle that would really have to be used sparingly. It's not the sort of vehicle that would exactly be appropriate for a touch-a-truck kind of a community event either. Is there any potential for getting a vehicle similar to this again through the 1033 program?
So we have one sitting, I'd say rotting away, but we have an old one that was a secondhand, two-time hand-me-down, basically, through the state police who got it from the LESO 1033 military program that you're referring to. And that's we now have to work on trying to get rid of that. That it's not that easy, unfortunately. And those, quite frankly, are more militaristic looking than the police law enforcement version that we're proposing.
Thank you. So I suppose with voicing those concerns and voicing that, I think that this is something to be used with great restraint. I have read your position paper. I think that if the police department thinks that it is reasonably necessary, that this is a wise allocation of money in order to protect police officers and the public from serious injury and death, I think that this isn't something where I could support this, but I do want to make sure to voice that caution, voice that we want to absolutely use this type of vehicle sparingly and not allow it to change the attitude, change the nature of our department. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
So I hear from several of my colleagues in their feelings and opinion regarding this particular vehicle. I kind of share some of all of it. You and I had a discussion earlier this morning about the vehicle. And I think that you brought up some pretty important items. I know that over the past several years, We've had numerous issues in this city, several of them being at Motel 6. I think there's been a couple of issues, perhaps in my ward, involving firearms or people barricaded themselves. I also realize that, contrary to maybe some, that we are the second largest city in the state. We have some 20 some schools, I think it is, here in the city. And God help us if we ever have an active shooter situation. And I think that this vehicle that you're talking about could certainly make all the difference. You spoke to me today about situations where there are individuals or individual barricaded in a home, and it's a standoff issue. It's a, you know, wait and see kind of thing. Or as you've testified earlier, we got to wait whatever time that it takes to get the state police vehicle to us. The use of this vehicle, you've pretty much, I think, expressed it well today, could make all the difference from the time constraints to the ability to access, we'll say access, that particular building without having police officers out there on the front line, so to speak. Even with all of this said, I'm interested in hearing from anyone here tonight, my colleagues, anyone from the public, as to what they have to say. I would say that I have received communications both in favor of and strongly opposed to, which is good, because we need to hear that. We need to hear from the folks that agree and those that disagree. Ultimately, it's, speaking for myself, it's my responsibility to make the best judgment call I can with something like this. So I'm just going to listen to what the rest of my colleagues have to say with regard to this, hear from members of the public, and I'll make a decision at that point. But for right now, I hope to God we never need this vehicle. But if we do, I don't want to be sitting around waiting for it to come in. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Major, just one quick question. The councilman brought up a great point. With this vehicle, would you be able, it's not just used as a aggressive machine. It could also be used to drive. Would you use it, I should ask, to go up to a situation if there is a hostage standoff or a standoff period where the negotiator could move closer while in a safe, within a distance of personal communication, but in a safe zone within the vehicle?
Yes, absolutely. That's correct. And another point I'd like to make is that it's as much to keep civilians safe in injury and fatality free. If there was a situation where between us and the person that is causing the issue, if there are victims in between us, we may not otherwise be able to safely rescue them until the situation is resolved. They may be bleeding out. They may, I didn't want to be too graphic, but they could be in really bad shape, but we can't do anything until the scene is safe. Having this vehicle would allow us to get right up on top of the situation and evacuate that person safely without any regard for putting too many people at risk, you know, by use of this vehicle. Can also rescue other people that may need to be evacuated from a neighboring house. It could be used for that. Has a 40-inch fording capability, so it could be used for natural disaster situations to help rescue people. So has quite a wide variety of uses beyond. I understand the it's some people's first impression it's going to, it's an oppressive machine, which that is absolutely not our intent to oppress anybody. It's not going to be used to intimidate anybody. It's strictly used for what it's intended for.
Thank you, Major. Are there any further questions, comments from members of this council? Thank you. I'll open it up, the questions and comments, to members of the public. I just ask, when you come up, identify with your name, and then you will ask questions through the chairperson and the committee, and the major will answer to the chairperson and the committee. Thank you. First constituent.
My name is Barry Cook from Namqua Drive in Warwick. I have a number of questions that I think, at least for my purposes, need to be clarified. I'd like to quantify the number of incidents that the police department has on record, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years. Do we have a number for that, Mr. Chairperson?
Thank you. Major, do you have that number?
What type of incidents specifically are?
Are you looking for certain situations or as a whole?
No, I don't really care about the situation. I would just like to know the number of incidents that this would have been used in the last several years.
Do you have an estimate on that, Major, number of incidences?
I think we discussed it earlier. The Councilman Ricks did bring it up too. Also, this past 12 months there's probably about 4 or 5 instances where we did use one, and that was again on loaner from another agency. And there were other situations that we may have been able to apply this vehicle to the situation, but perhaps it was resolved before we reached out for mutual aid.
Thank you,
sir. I'd like to make an observation. I'm hard of hearing.
Oh, okay.
And everybody here is soft spoken. This gentleman is soft spoken. Mr. Lattisaw is soft spoken. I'm probably the oldest person in the audience, and that's probably my problem, but I am hard of hearing. So if we could ask everybody to speak up for my benefit and everybody else's benefit, that would be helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you. We'll do that.
All right. Now, I'm not satisfied with that answer. We're talking about a $360,000 expenditure. Now, I realize I've only been attending council meetings in the last 2 years, so perhaps in the other 20 years that I've been here, we have expended $360,000 for a vehicle, but I doubt it. So my observation would be, the major comes here to request $360,000, and he can't quantify the number of incidents where this would have been required. I find that disappointing. If you're going to come to a meeting such as this and request an expenditure of $360,000, I would expect the person requesting it to be better prepared. My observation. Is there a time limit for the expenditure of ARPA money? Must we spend ARPA money in this instance or any other instance before a certain time, whereas if we haven't used the money, we lose it? Mr. Chairman.
There is a deadline for the money to be allocated.
Do we know what the particular deadline is for this expenditure?
Do we owe, please? I'm sorry.
When, if we don't spend this $360,000 in tonight's meeting or some subsequent meeting in the future, when would the deadline be up and we lose that money?
Councilman Gebhardt.
They need to be obligated by the end of this year and spent by the end of 2026.
Obligated by the end of 24?
Correct.
And spent by when?
26.
26.
Yep.
So, just so I understand that. So, am I to assume then, again through the chair, that this $360,000 has been obligated as of tonight or some part in the past?
What's happening is the police department is requesting this amount to be obligated to the department. We are voting to authorize it.
And they're saying if it is authorized, they will spend money from ARPA to purchase this vehicle.
Okay. So as of tonight, this $360,000 has not been obligated for this purpose.
To this purpose? No, it has not. Not okay. Tonight.
So if we were to wait, just as an example, if we were to do some more research, come back with better answers, more quantification, rather than a lot of hyperbole, some hard numbers, we have nothing to lose by postponing this into the future. Now, I understand, you know, this is the only vendor that makes it, and there's other cities and towns competing for it. All I can say about that is that's not important. In my mind, that's not important at this juncture. If we don't, if we have until the end of 26 to spend this money, it would seem to me that we have almost two full years. If we don't authorize it and spend it in the next month or two, we have until the end of 26 to go back and acquire it. So my observation would be that I think it would be wise not to take any action tonight to obligate this money until we have more details. That's my observation.
Sir, if I may.
One moment, Major. Yes. I would like to, did you have any further?
Oh, I have a bunch.
Okay, so I would like to ratify before I turn over to the Major. You said the Major, I just, for point of clarification, you said the Major didn't come with facts and unprepared.
To my satisfaction.
Okay, and I want to answer that. You asked for instances, and he identified four in the last 12 months. That's prepared. And then you said he didn't come with any hard facts. Those are hard facts. So he came with the 12 months that we had four instances that justifies in his mind or in the mind of the presentation of your question that the expenditure can be done. So I just wanted to clarify that because, you know, there's one thing that the Major definitely always comes as prepared. Thank you.
Mr. Howe, you'd be a great defense counsel. You're always defending the people who come before us. So let me clarify my point of view since you clarified your point of view. What I was speaking about is it's one thing to say there were four incidents. There's another thing to say there was a SWAT team incident on West Shore Road, October 23. There was an incident in Oakland Beach, July of 23. There was an incident at the Hotel Hampton Inn in September. Those are what I'm talking about. Four numbers don't mean anything for this person's, this taxpayer's point of view. That's what I'm talking about. I'm personally not happy or satisfied to hear there were four incidents without detail. That's my point of view. All right, so go back to where I left off. I don't see any rush to make a major decision about this $360,000 expenditure when we have what appears to be two full years to come to grips with this. I'd like to ask another question. How much was the police department originally allocated in terms of ARPA money? Were they given $2 million, $5 million, $3 million, $6 million? How much was the original allocation of ARPA money to the police department?
So I will answer that. The way that the administration and this council has set it up, we were allocated amount for projects. The administration, each department goes and presents and makes the requests in that aspect. And I would like to ask the chief, if he doesn't mind, Chief McAsey. Excuse me, Major, I'm sorry. And if I'm mistaken, please, Chief, correct me. Is to answer Mr. Cook's question for clarification.
Sure. So the topic that's under conversation right now, it was $3 million total of ARPA dollars. That's what's under discussion. We could look back at the previous fiscal year capital budgets, to get a larger number. But on this particular discussion, when it comes to this expenditure as well as associated police expenditure, it's $3 million.
Thank you. $3 million for the police.
I guess, again, he didn't identify himself, but I guess he's the chief of police.
No? Okay. So, I'm sorry.
I'm not the chief of police. No, I'm the mayor's chief of staff.
Please identify with your name. I apologize.
So
that's on me. I'm sorry.
So
one moment,
when
Mr.
When you referred
Cook.
To him as chief, I thought he was a police chief.
No, Mr. Cook. So I apologize. I should have asked you to identify, if you don't mind, with your name and title.
Sure. Aaron McAsey, Mayor's Chief of Staff.
Thank you. And Mr. Thank Cook, you. Before you continue, Major, did you want to follow up at all, or do you feel comfortable with the answer?
I just have one point to make, sir, is that the Lenco Industries presented us with a $50,000 price increase over this price for the 2024 model year price increase.
However, we were lucky we had the 90-day bid still in place, which we they're going to obviously honor that. So it would have been another $50,000 if we wait, or had we waited.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cook.
Okay, so if I understand the chief of staff, and I'm surprised the mayor's not here, quite frankly, I would think that the mayor should be here to defend his police department's request for such a large expenditure. But anyway, so if I understand correctly, although I'm hard of hearing, I thought the answer was the original allocation of HARPA money was $3 million. Is that what I heard? Okay. Can someone tell me through the chair how much of that $300 million is left unobligated?
How much of that money for the police department
is left? The $3 million. How much of that $3 million remains unobligated?
This is the first expenditure from this $3 million of authorized ARPA for this calendar year.
Thank you.
Again, to make sure I understand. So the $3 million is still available, a total of $3 million. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Mr. Gebhardt shaking his head. Am I missing something?
Go ahead, Mr. Gebhardt. Councilman Gebhardt.
That may be accurate for the calendar year, but for the budget year, we've already purchased vehicles and other things.
Chief McAsee.
Sure. Just to clarify, because I think we're talking past each other in different line items. The $3 million is under this specific line item in the FY24 capital budget, as outlined in Finance Director Schaefer's memo to the council about ARPA allocations, and in this case, a requested reallocation into these vehicles.
Thank you so much, Chief.
All right, I'm asking all these questions, and I get another question asked because of it. So the major, I'm accustomed to calling the police chief, so when I say chief, I'm talking about the police person. So when the chief testified, I think Councilman Gebhardt, again, I think I heard Councilman talk about automobiles and other vehicles for the police department, and I thought the chief of police, I know he's not the chief, but I'll call him the chief, said that he reallocated money to take care of this expenditure. So if I understood correctly, we had money put aside to buy new police vehicles, but that money for new police vehicles was reallocated to buy this special vehicle. Do I understand that correctly?
That's not accurate.
Okay, could someone explain that to me?
So quickly, this is an allocation for the year. The vehicles were already, that money was already expenditured. This $3 million was reallocated, correct me if I'm wrong, to this project and others that may be requested by the police department.
Again.
But the vehicles, for clarification, were purchased under ARPA funds. Okay.
So moving forward, is it safe to assume, and you know what they say about assume, but is it safe to assume that as we move forward, any request for new vehicles for the police department will come out of this $3 million in ARPA funds? Is that safe to assume?
That is one of the options the police department has, okay. Yes.
So I got the answer to the time limit. I'm not satisfied with the number of incidents, but that's okay. We discussed that. I have one or two more questions.
Thank you.
Well, let me digress for a minute. I read the police chief's letter memo to you folks about why it was needed and borrowed it from the state police department, and that the police department doesn't want to have to request from the state police. But I find it interesting that the city of Providence, with about 190,000 people in the city, doesn't have one. So a huge police department, probably the largest in the state, certainly the city with the most population, I think it's safe to assume that the number of police incidents and problems are greater in the city of Providence. And that's my assumption. I have no reason not to believe that. So the city of Providence doesn't have one, but the city of Warwick, with a population of about 80,000, wants to get one. I find that perplexing. No answer to that's required. I'm just making a statement. I find that perplexing.
I would like to make a statement on that. We're not Providence.
Oh, I'm well aware of that.
Thank you.
Very well aware of that. And you're also not one of the other 34 cities and towns in the state.
So if I may say, you've exceeded the 10 minutes, so there are two options. I can ask you if you want to, I can ask the committee if they wish to extend your time. What I would like to do is invite another speaker to come up, and then if we vote to extend your time,
well,
you can come
I'm out. Almost done. Can I finish?
Yeah, well, you've exceeded the 10 minutes.
So can you ask the committee if I can continue?
What I will do is I will ask, give another citizen an opportunity to talk, and then after that citizen is done, we can call you up. Give everyone an equal amount of time to speak.
But that's not what you just said. I'll sit down, but that's not what you just said. You said two options. One option
two
was
options.
To ask the group if I could continue. Could you please ask, and let's get a decision.
And what I said is I would like to have someone else come up to speak so that they get the equal amount of time. And as soon as all new speakers are completed speaking, I will then ask to extend your time and a recommendation by this committee.
So you only gave me one option. Okay, fine. So
okay.
The last thing I want to say is, and I'll sit down, and I may or may not stay.
Thank you, sir.
Sir,
your time is up.
Thank you.
I'm closing. Right?
Thank you, sir. Your time is up.
I've already given you the indication the time is up.
Mr. McCausland, you'd make a great defense attorney, too.
Excuse me.
Don't wave at me.
Excuse me. Mr. Cook, there's no need to be so angry. You got 11 minutes to speak. 11 minutes. So now you're away from the microphone. Thank you. We don't need the yelling. Is there another speaker? Sir, please.
John Savaggio, 121 Central Street. I think the real issues that we're talking here is the police department needs to be prepared in issues that arise. But such issues that we're talking about here, I don't think are the standard times. I think it's like 3 minutes and 57 seconds is the national response time. I'm a little rusty, so but the responses that we got that are going to be warranted for SWAT, I would think that a game plan is going to be made in, you know, the precinct or however we, which will expand the time anyway. At that point, can't we then borrow the asset from, you know, the other neighboring towns? I understand that there would be points when we do need this asset, but is it really that feasible to get it at a minute notice when we can't just rush something like this in at a minute notice? There would be, you know, SWAT meetings, collaborations going on. I do understand it's a big expenditure, and like the other citizen was saying, we should get the numbers on how many times not just this department utilized it, but how many times the state police been utilized by all precincts, their particular unit, to get a, you know, an answer. And I don't think it depends all on this police department. We have to furnish that information from other places is what I believe. You know, but that's just a couple of things I was saying, that we do need something like this to get in there, but I don't think it's going to be expedited as we think, especially an asset like this in the field. If it's not going to be as expedited and there's going to be collaboration, I believe then we could, you know, possibly borrow it from a neighboring town. But how many years are left on their machinery that's left for them? Are they going to be due up and then all of us as a community are going to be without? If that's the case, then I would say absolutely we need to move forward, and we'd be carrying some other people's slack in the town. But that's why the city of Warwick is prosperous, you know. That's it.
Thank you so much, sir. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Thank you, ma'am.
Ian Sheridan, Ward 9.
Thank you.
First off, I'd like to thank the major, for his excellent leadership of our police department. I have many police and fire in my family, so I truly appreciate how difficult their jobs are and how dangerous their jobs are. I would like to know if we have any idea if the state police is looking to buy another vehicle, if they see if there's any need for that.
Major, I know you don't represent the state police. The question was, are you aware if the state police are interested in buying another vehicle?
I do not think they have one that's only a few years old. I don't think they'd be in the market for a new one right now.
Thank you. Did you hear the answer, ma'am?
I did.
Thank you.
So that would seem to me that at the state level, where the state is responding throughout the city, 39 cities and towns, they must think that it's They have sufficient resources to meet the demands that we have. But on a different subject, if I understood the major correctly and what you said earlier, there was $3 million in ARPA funds allocated for the police department. This is for capital improvements. These are for equipment that's new, different, outside of the range. So if we are taking this $360,000 from these ARPA funds, what have we replaced that purchase with? I'm assuming, and I could be completely wrong, but when the mayor and the administration presented $3 million, it was based on a needs base from the department. I would hate to believe that somebody threw out a number wildly saying, okay, we're going to give you $3 million, we're going to give somebody else $1 million. I understand budgeting from way back in a different administration, but we always had to present a detailed plan of what we intended to buy. So I'm concerned that there might be something that could be generally better for use rather than something that's singularly used. So what was replaced? What did we set aside to plan for this piece of equipment?
Major, the question was anything replaced or what was replaced, if so, to purchase this equipment from the plan that the police have?
Nothing was replaced or displaced by this purchase.
Thank you.
So the administration just gave the department $3 million to spend as they chose with no plan as to what they were thinking about buying. That's what we're basically saying.
I think the concern would come in, respectfully, Ms. Sheridan, is that you're saying that without a plan, I think the police are putting forward the actions, experiences, and the trends that we've been watching with the purchase of this vehicle, so to say without planning, but I will refer to the major. Did you hear the statement, and do you have a response?
Yes, I can assure you Colonel has planned with the administration here in Warwick about their plans and expectations and how that $3 million will be used. So when I come here tonight, it's not a surprise to the council, it's not a surprise to the administration. Everybody has an idea prior to what we're going to be doing.
Okay, so then when the Colonel presented this request for $3 million.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Sheridan, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. So when the Colonel proposed his plan of a $3 million expenditure and a request for these ARPA funds, he outlined some plan of what he thought they would be buying.
Yes, that sounds about accurate. Correct, Major?
Yes.
Thank you.
That would mean something had to be taken out of the mix, or there was a safety valve of maybe $500,000 out of the $303 million that was set aside for other miscellaneous wants and needs.
One moment, Ms. Sheridan. Chief, please identify, and then you may answer the question on behalf of the administration.
Sure. Aaron Mackesy, Mayor's Chief of Staff. I just want to provide a clarification based on, as I mentioned earlier, a memo from Finance Director Schaefer to members of the Finance Committee and members of the Council about this $3 million line item allocation from the FY24 capital budget. As it lays out, $3 million was allocated in the budget for facilities maintenance, building upgrades at Warwick Police Department headquarters. After discussions with a outside consultant, Colonel Connor felt confident that the number for the building renovations was significantly higher and that this money could be better used to renovate specific portions of the Warwick Police Department headquarters while also utilizing those funds in different areas such as the one that Major Sullivan is presenting tonight. So it's not as if a project isn't getting done that would have otherwise gotten done. It was looking realistically at the budget in the middle of the fiscal year, as well as what the cost would be to do a full total renovation, and saying we can more expeditiously use those funds to benefit both the police department and the public.
Thank you.
Thank you, I understand that. So again, what the chief of staff is saying is that there was an original $3 million that included a complete fix to the police station. So now that's been set aside for a future time.
Chief? Pardon me. No, there are renovation projects that will still be ongoing and will still occur. But the $3 million was saying this is how much we think at this time we can allocate of the available funds to a potential renovation.
I get it. It's whether you choose to spend it today or tomorrow. I mean, it's the same money, and you're... Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak on this topic? Are there any further? Please.